The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
You know, when somebody asks you about, you know, the programmes of your childhood and the TV programmes that left a long-lasting impression, you hear Wonder League Wagon, you hear The Swap Shop, all of that, so Tis Was. Well, the programme that has left a huge impression on me over the years is That's Life, which used to run on the BBC from 1973 to 1994. And the lady who drove that programme brilliantly was Esther Ranson. And Esther joins us on the line now. Good afternoon, Esther.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thanks so much for taking our call. I know you're a very, very busy woman, so we appreciate your time. So we'll talk about Golden Day and Child Line and Silver Line in a moment, but just That's Life, that brilliant programme. There are rumours going around that it's coming back in some shape or form. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, every now and then, about every 2 or 3 years, somebody tries to make a version of That's Life. And what they usually have no idea is how hard work it is. It's very difficult, actually. So they normally fall in a faint of exhaustion in a puddle.
Yes.
However, a friend of mine who joined That's Life as a researcher when he was 16, then went off to university, then came back again and worked his way steadily up until he ended up executive producing our very last show, has created a new program which is coming back on television on Channel 5, and he has asked me to play a role in it, and I was with him this morning in his production office, and we were just roaring with laughter because it's, once we start reminiscing about the crazy things we did on That's Life, as well as, of course, the worthwhile things, we never stop. So it's a program which is actually being fronted by Eamon Holmes and his lovely wife, Ruth. And I'm sitting in the corner, if you remember That's Life, I suppose a little bit like Cyril Fletcher.
Yes.
Contributing a bit of a bit of whatever I contribute, which I think is going to be some serious campaigns and some general thoughts about protecting consumers, because it's always been where my heart has been in television, and it's I'm very happy to be back on the screen. It's going to be live on Sunday nights, if you can imagine.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
So Esther Ranson back live on the telly on Sunday nights. That's...
That's for all those people that want to avoid me, that's where I'll be. Just in case you want to catch up with me, that is also where I'll be.
Yes, and I suppose the brilliant thing for you is you're part of it, but you don't have to work as hard as you would have back in the day.
I'll tell you a secret. If a program is any good, you can only make it with every sinew, muscle, blood cell. You know, I have a friend called Michael Parkinson who managed to put his feet up for much of the week and still produce a wonderful show, but he's the only person, I've ever met that could do it like that. I mean, most of us, you know, my God, the effort shows, I think, sometimes.
Yes, yeah, so that's Life, and you'll be back in some shape or form on Channel 5, which is great news. You're calling for a golden day in the UK, and oftentimes when something happens in the UK, we copy them or follow suit. Tell us about your idea.
Well, you know, we launched a helpline called the Silver Line in November 2013, so it's just about 5 years old. And we've had well over 2 million calls in that time. And we've got 5,000 trained volunteers making friendship calls and so on. And clearly the demand is enormous. But what it taught me is that it's really difficult to fund charities for older people. I'm not quite sure how you feel in Ireland about charitable causes, but certainly in England, the cancer charities make money and the dog charities make money, but you won't find a single charity helping older people in the top 20. So I thought to myself, well, we've got Children in Need helping children, and very good it is too. And we've got Comic Relief and Sport Relief helping people around the world that need assistance, but we haven't got anything for older people. And all the organizations, the projects working with older people, are finding it really difficult these days with all the cutbacks and this and that. So why don't we have an equivalent to Children in Need on the media, fundraising for all the fantastic people who are doing wonderful work for older people but are finding it very difficult to fund themselves.
Brilliant idea.
So I've been banging on the doors of the various media people to be greeted with a significant silence, because if you say old or older to anyone in television, they clap their hands over their ears and run.
Because they're trying to age down. Isn't that what they say? We're trying to age down.
I'll tell you what, Babe. Once upon a time, there was a director general called Greg Dyke.
Yes.
A cheerful chappie in many ways, who stuck stickers all over the BBC saying 16 to 24.
Yeah.
Now, in my view, this is because the advertising agency loves 16 to 24 because they're the only people who believe the commercials. All the rest of us, unfortunately, have been there, done that, got the T-shirt and recognised.
But of course, the BBC don't advertise even.
No, but unfortunately, they went along with the trend. They
yes.
decided it was cool and fashionable.
Yeah.
And so they went along with the trend. Now, this actually annoys me because I know that for a lot of older people, particularly isolated older people, and you do have lots of those in Ireland, I know that.
We do, yes. Yeah.
I know that. They are the people who find television not just a luxury, but a necessity, because sometimes it's the only company they have, the only stimulus they have.
Yeah.
So for the broadcasters, either to take them for granted or ignore them completely, it seems to me to be wrong.
Stupid. Have you manned the silver line yourself on occasion, yeah? What sort of things do people say to you, ask you?
Well, I make phone calls every Christmas to people who are not talking to anyone else over the whole Christmas period. And I find it heartbreaking. You know, I've listened to a lot of children talking about a lot of terrible things on Childline's lines. But somehow it's not quite so heartbreaking. It does make you angry if they're being abused or neglected. But children, there's always hope and resilience and... And it's a very different experience. When you're talking to older people who tell you that they aren't talking to anyone else, not from Christmas through to New Year, who tell them they don't get any Christmas cards, we try and send them little parcels of goodies. It's quite funny because older people are quite rightly suspicious when a parcel arrives unasked at their door. We always try and make it a surprise, so all kinds of altercations break out. I never ordered this. You know, we have to say, look, 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 your name's on it. Anyway, I think that the two words I hear most often and hate to hear both begin with B. One is busy. Everybody's so busy, my son's so busy, my daughter's so busy, the neighbours are always busy, people in the shops are busy, so no one has time even to pick up a phone and have a chat. And the other is burden. Oh, I don't want to tell my son, my daughter, my friends, my neighbours that I'm feeling lonely because I don't want to be a burden. Okay, so those are the two B words we hear most often, busy and burden. Everyone else is busy. I don't want to be a burden.
It's very sad, isn't it?
It's not right. It's not right. And if you...
You've given this a lot of thought, Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's all ahead of us. We're all going to get old. And we would like to think that we've contributed some more than others. You've contributed in a huge way. All people contribute in some small way to life, to society. And then at the end of all of that, to be ignored and to feel like a burden. Why is that human nature? I don't think it is, because in other countries, you know, I was talking to a young man from Pakistan, for example, and their culture involves caring for their elders. If you don't have, you know, a grandfather or a grandmother of your own, you go out and you find an old person and you befriend them and you help them and you provide company for them. So what is it about, because we're very similar to the UK, I think, in here in Ireland. What do you think? Why is it like that?
Well, I think it's the unintended consequence of the 60s. The swinging 60s, I can remember them, so clearly I wasn't there. But what that did was the young people who, you know, the phrase was children, young people should be seen and not heard. So young people were not really listened to. I remember a time when in the BBC where I was working, it was the older people that had all the senior jobs, and it was famous that you can never sack them. You know, they were there, they clung on like elderly limpets. Not anymore. I tell you, I was the oldest person in my department at the BBC. They lopped them off, you know, at the age of 40. God knows where they ended up. But I think the unintended consequence of the youth culture was that older people who had been respected, not only in employment but in families, they were very often the centre of the family, as my grandmother was. Everybody circled around her home, and we saw her every weekend, and Christmas we all came to her and had a big Christmas dinner and went for a walk together, all the cousins. Those were the days of the extended family. And I think we have lost a heck of a lot. You know, partly it's because we've had to, as Norman Tebbit, I think, said, get on our bikes to go where the work is. My sister, there's only the two of us, my sister and I, and she's in Australia. So, you know, 12,000 miles away, my cousins are scattered. One's in New Zealand, one's in Somerset. Sadly, I haven't got any in Ireland. I'd certainly leap at the chance of visiting them if I had. I once pursued slightly by an Irish lawyer.
Oh, were you? Not for legal reasons, for love reasons.
Thank you. Well, it was professional reasons, really. It was on a programme called Celebrity First Date.
Oh, yes, you were on Celebrity First Dates. You've done The Jungle, and you've done Strictly. Yeah. And how did that work out then, you and the Irish solicitor?
He was adorable, but unfortunately, after we'd had our lunch together, we were then interviewed about each other, and I was, you know, rather bland and sweet, as I try to be when the cameras are on. you know, we have to be on our best behaviour. Anyway, then they turned to him and said, what did he think of me? Yeah. And he said, well, Esther, for a lady of your advancing years, you were splendid company.
Oh, God.
I know.
And did he patch on the head then? Go on.
I said, what did you say? And he said, didn't you hear me, dear?
Oh, now. No.
So then I was rung up by a gentleman of your persuasion, an important broadcaster on Irish radio, who tried to make the case that it was a joke. I said, now listen to me, I said, you never make a joke about a lady's age or her shoe size or her weight. Anyway, so that didn't work out.
No.
Charming chap.
Now, you see, because your beloved Des, and when you read about your relationship, it was just a beautiful, loving relationship. And even that, I read somewhere that you slept with your arms around each other. So when you lose somebody like that, there is a huge gap in your life. And when you went on to Celebrity First Dates, it was just for a bit of fun, or were you looking?
Blandishments. I was blandished into it because they said to me, now look, there's a lot of people, including people who ring the Silver Line, this helpline for older people we run, who are actually looking for love again. They've lost a partner, and if you come on this show, you'll make it respectable. Not that I normally make things respectable, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
And so I was blandished into it.
Right. Hoodwinked, and, yeah.
But, you know, if the right person had come along, I wouldn't say no. But it's just, Desi was a fantastically hard act to follow.
Yeah. We mentioned I'm a Celebrity there. You still hold the record for staying in a coffin for 47 minutes with cockroaches.
I really do. I do.
You're a strong, determined woman. You know, if you can do that, I don't know how you did that. Why did you sign up for it? You hardly needed the money.
It was a very funny occasion because they came to see me and my agent, and my agent, who was a beautiful blonde, a highly refined woman. Interesting, isn't it? God knows how she put up with me, but anyway, she did. And she was getting more and more and more disgusted and disdainful and the whole thing, you know, and she was looking. You know, I hope she's not hearing me. You know how ostriches have that disdained look?
Yes.
Disdainful look. Well, she was a bit like that. Her neck grew and she looked down her nose in a slightly ostrich-like way. I've never said that to her. Please don't pass it on.
I probably never meet her, most likely.
You never know. These things happen. Anyway, the more appalled she got, the funnier I thought it was.
Yeah.
And as I'm rather contra-suggestible, I thought, well, It will be fun. Also,
that's a brilliant. Can I use that counter suggestible? Yes. There
yeah,
you go.
Indeed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And my my closest friend adores the program and watches it, you know, avidly. I tend not to, although I did watch the final this year.
Harry Redknapp, what a star. Both my 12-year-old daughter and my wife have a crush on him.
You see, I tell you about these reality shows. If you know who's going to win from the beginning, it sort of spoils it.
Yes.
And there was something about Harry, this star quality that shone from the screen. It was something to do with his grumpiness can be quite appealing, can't it? Particularly when faced with disgusting things to eat. But I have this problem with Strictly, you know. There are two dancers, lovely women, who are professional dancers on it.
Yeah.
And that sort of spoils it, doesn't it?
It does. I thought there were rules, but obviously there aren't rules. But I thought there were.
I've invented a very good rule, which is what they ought to do. It's a bit like education. You know how they judge schools by value added, i.e. they measure what the kids are like when they begin and how far they travel when they leave. Mm. Do you see what I mean? And that's measuring.
Ah, yes, they should do that. That should be
progress.
The measure. Yes, that should be the measure. Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's what it
yes,
should
yes,
be,
yes.
So that you get these amateurs who've never danced a step in their lives who turn out to be very proficient by the end, but they can't compete with live young ladies who've been doing it from the age of four.
No, it's unfair. It's unfair.
I'm pleased you say that.
Yeah, listen, if you're ever in Dublin, will you come in for a chat? Because I'd love to have you sitting in front of me.
Well, that would be fun. One of my favourite cities in the whole world, Dublin.
Yeah, well, you come over and we will try and get you a different solicitor who's a more mannerly solicitor next time.
Yes, yes. Well, yes, I find the Irish people a bit difficult to resist.
Right.
Yeah, it's the music and the humour.
Yeah. Listen, I've really enjoyed our chat. Mind yourself, and if you get the Golden Day going in the UK, you might come over and do it here as well.
Yeah, sure, that would be fun.
Great. Esther Anson, thank you very much. Happy
pleasure.
Christmas. Bye now.
And bye. To you. Bye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.